miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
And this is Dr. Mike Roizen. You're listening to Radio MD, where we hope you stay well. And us at You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, passionate show that lets you take control of your health so you can live at the highest part of your curve. Part of that, you've already heard from Dr. Gary Ginsberg on whatstoxic.com when he said, at this time of year, you want to have your furnace inspected and you want to change the batteries in your carbon monoxide and your fire alarm, smoke alarms, because you're about to fall back and get an extra hour of sleep. Might as well use it to good measure. And for good measure, we have someone who's outstanding. Dr. Alexander Garrard is the toxicologist in chief for the state of Washington. And he's brought to us, if you will, by courtesy of the Washington State Poison Center. But he's also, it's brought to us by the American Association of Poison Control Centers, AAPCC.org, American Association of Poison Control Centers, to talk to us about tips of poison prevention on Halloween. Alexander Garrard, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Now, tell me, why are there increased poisonings on Halloween that are accidental, or is poisoning a year-round phenomenon, or is there some seasonality to it?
Well, you know, for sure, there's definitely some seasonality to poisonings, and it's kind of true. You know, even around the full moon, we start seeing more poisonings and exposures go up. People get a little bit more curious about trying different things. But especially when we're talking about pediatrics and kids, you know, we see a lot of that stuff, poisonings, if you will, around Halloween, just because there's so many treats, so many items that kids can get into, and oftentimes the parents are so busy trying to keep track of where everybody is that often, you know, they may happen to overlook that, you know, something's laying out on the countertop and the child gets into it. So we definitely see that, and we have some concerns and tips, safety tips for parents and kids that are going to be trick-or-treating around this holiday.
So let's go over some of those safety tips. What's your favorite one?
Well, you know, especially coming from Washington State, one of the things that I like to emphasize is just make sure you know what you're getting. So it's really, really important for parents to kind of, you know, go through the candy that their kids are getting from people in the neighborhood, what have you, and make sure that these are actually true products and not really homemade products. So you want to make sure that it has, like, it's a recognizable label. It's not really a homemade edible or homemade candy bar or anything like that, because you can't ensure the quality and the safety of those products. So I think that's probably one of the number one tips that I would give to parents. Just know what your kids are getting into and make sure that you check it before they start eating it.
So one of the, it's actually, we got a question, says he's from Washington State. Do they put marijuana in their candy up there, and what do kids have to know about that?
Yeah, so, you know, that is certainly a thought that we had and that we had concern about last year, especially when those shops opened up. We did not have any cases like that in the state where perhaps marijuana made its way into the candy supply. The marijuana that is available for purchase is highly regulated. It's very well labeled that it does contain marijuana. But what we do encourage is a more general message is, again, for parents to look at the candy, make sure that it's not a homemade product, that it is a recognizable logo and brand of candy. Because, again, you never know. I'm not saying that they're necessarily, we're not expecting or anticipating malicious marijuana candies given out. But for a lot of homemade products, you never can ensure exactly what's in it. So it's certainly something we're keeping an eye out on. It's not just in Washington State. There are a number of other states where this perhaps might be a point of discussion. But even just, like I said, in general, you never know what you're going to get. So you just want to make sure that to check that it's a recognizable label and that it doesn't look like it's been tampered with at all either.
Now, what about the makeup one uses for Halloween costumes and the substances in the Halloween costume itself?
Yeah. So, you know, the makeup itself, for the most part, it's been approved to be safe for use and such, but especially in young kids, you never really know how it's going to react, or if they've never really worn makeup before or face paint or what have you. So it's really important to test it out first before actually applying it on the face. So we usually recommend testing out on a small piece of the arm so you can see if there's some sort of allergic reaction. Typically, if you're going to see something, might be within the hour, so that you might see some redness, hives, itching, what have you. If you're not seeing anything like that, then I would say you can certainly proceed. Just kind of keep an eye out on it. For new types of costumes that are coming out of the bag, probably want to consider washing those first to make sure there are no other chemicals or anything on there that were kind of during transport or what have you. And then just keep an eye on your child. If they're complaining that it's too tight, it's itchy, or they're, you know, scratching or what have you, be very aware of that and then just make sure to remove it safely. We always talk about not applying makeup, face paint around the eyes. The eyes are very, very sensitive. And if you happen to get some makeup in it, it can be oftentimes difficult or laborious to get it out. So it's just best to stay away from the eyes. And other things, go ahead.
Go ahead. What about other things?
Yeah, I was going to say the other issue, you know, that we see too around this time are glow sticks. We see that kind of like a year-round phenomenon, but especially around Halloween and in the fall, there are a lot of holidays where lights and treats are a big part of it, and glow sticks are very, very attractive. They're very cool for kids, and they love working with them and playing with them, but we always want to make sure to keep them out of their mouth, and especially for some of our teenagers and younger adults who might be a little bit more adventurous, you know, not to stick a glow stick into a microwave. It sounds kind of maybe common sense not to do that, but there are many kind of YouTube videos of people actually doing that and it causing problems. Glow sticks in general, if it's...
Why would someone do it on a YouTube video?
You know, that beats, yeah, that's a good question. Common sense is not so common. That's what I always say. But, you know, glow sticks themselves, when kids get into them, they bite into them, they get it on their hands occasionally, they put their hands in their mouth. The liquid inside, despite the fact that it's glowing and you're thinking, oh my gosh, it's so, you know, kind of freaks you out a little bit, that actually is a pretty low toxicity. If anything, we could see some mild irritation if they get enough of it, maybe some nausea, some vomiting, but this is generally not an exposure or quote-unquote poisoning that necessarily needs to go to the ER. So if anything, you know, just make sure to wash off the hands, give them some water to drink to dilute it if they got any in their mouth, and of course always call your local poison control center if you need further help or information.
Now, how ready is the information on the internet versus... It seems to me it's almost always best to talk to a poison control center. Are they generally available? How common are they? How many are there in, for example, the state of Washington?
So here in Washington State, we have one poison center which covers all 7 million citizens of Washington State. That also includes 98 hospitals. Nationwide, there are 55 poison centers. Some states like Texas, Florida, New York, and California may have more than one poison center because of the population size, but they're 24/7, and they're free, they're confidential, and they're staffed by nurses, pharmacists, and physicians. So when you call, you know that you're speaking with a licensed healthcare professional who knows exactly what they're talking about and can kind of tell you exactly what you need to know. Because the challenge is a lot of people will go on the internet and will Google or Yahoo this information like, you know, glow stick, my child ate this, or what have you. And there's just so much information out there, and sometimes people don't really know how to interpret it or what's right or what's wrong. So save yourself the trouble of trying to figure that out, you know, and give the poison center a call. It's a toll-free number. It's that 1-800-222-1222. Program it in your cell phone. You never know if you might need it or if you just have a question. That information is readily available right at the end of the phone call.
So again, it's 1-800-222-1222. So you've got to remember it's an 800 number and then three twos, a one, and three twos. So it's pretty easy. I guess, Dr. Gerard, when we come back, let's talk a little bit about this specific question that was asked before from a listener. A fungicide was sprayed in their apartment this morning, and the female member of the group is pregnant. What do they do about that? The fungicide had benzyl chloride in it. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
I'm here to tell you that Shelton's chickens and turkeys don't do drugs. Now, what does that mean? They're raised without the use of antibiotics or artificial growth stimulants. They're even allowed to walk around in the open space and sunshine, free to scratch at the ground and peck away at whatever takes their fancy. All of Shelton's natural poultry products are made with the finest natural ingredients available. They use no preservatives, flavor enhancers, modified starches, animal protein, or any artificial ingredients. In fact, their ingredient list reads more like home recipes instead of chemistry textbooks. From premium whole turkeys and chickens to chicken breasts and thighs, ground turkey, uncured chicken franks, canned chicken and chili, turkey burgers and meatballs, and the absolute best turkey jerky and sticks on the planet, Shelton's is your go-to poultry brand. If you want certified organic, you can have that too. Look for the Shelton's brand in your natural markets, or to search for one near you, go to Shelton's.com. Shelton's premium poultry is so good, your family will taste the healthy difference.
Do you have a great idea for a radio show but have no idea where to start? Or have you been hosting a podcast for a while and want to take it to the next level? If so, you need the Gab Radio Network. To host a show on the Gab Radio Network, all you need is your voice, and we'll handle the rest. From technical engineering to full-service audio production and much more. Every show on the Gab Radio Network can be heard on our station on the TuneIn Radio app. Plus, we put all of our shows on our satellite, which is accessed by over 5,500 stations. And here's the best part. You can host from anywhere you want. There are many means to connect to the Gab Radio Network remotely, and our staff of highly trained engineers and producers will make you sound like you're right here in studio. So, if you want to be on the Gab Radio Network, the same network that hosts the Small Business Advocate, Radio MD, and The Federalist, send an email right now to sales@gabradionetwork.com. That's sales@gabradionetwork.com.
Antioxidants, you've heard of them, but do you know what they're good for or where to get them? This is Sylvia Escott Stump of the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. Antioxidants, they destroy the free radicals that cause cellular damage, and eating foods that are rich in antioxidants may help prevent cancer and heart disease. These foods include red wine in addition to grape juice, whole grain pasta, eggs, seafood, and canned beans, brightly colored vegetables, carrots, squash, broccoli, all the peppers, sweet potatoes, tomatoes, and kale are other tasty sources. And for those of you with a sweet tooth, good news. Honey, brown sugar, and maple syrup, in addition to fruits like blueberries, cantaloupe, peaches, and strawberries, also contain significant levels of antioxidants. Encouraging you to eat right, I'm registered dietitian Sylvia Escott Stump with the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics.
When Dad needed help getting around, I became his driver. Any daughter would do the same. But soon enough, he needed help doing more things, and it was up to me to be his personal shopper and financial manager, too. And before I knew it, Dad moved in with me, so I became his cook, his personal assistant, his physical therapist, and even his nurse. When I started taking care of Dad, I didn't realize all the roles I'd have to play. But no matter what, I know I'm still his daughter.
We understand the many roles you play. And to help, we created an online caregiving resource center. At aarp.org/caregiving, you can find resources and connect with the caregiving community. Together, we can better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving to learn more. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
There's more of You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Presented by the Radio MD Network.
Here's Dr. Michael Roizen.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. We have a wonderful guest this half hour about Dr. Alexander Garrard, G-A-R-A-R-D. He's the director of the Poison Control Center in the state of Washington and a member of the, and I'll give you the website. It's aapcc.org. It's the American Association of Poison Control Centers. There are 55 of them. And what I understand, Dr. Garrard, is, and by the way, we did give out the number if you want to call it. It's 1-800-222-1222. The information you receive is confidential. So if someone is concerned that they're going to be reported to the police or their kid got into something and they're worried about it, this is really confidential, is it not?
It is. It is. This is basically treated like a medical record. So there's that patient-provider relationship with the calls that we take.
Now, because you're in the state of Washington, you in Colorado must have had some interesting experiences with marijuana. Was there an increase? Is there a problem? Is the candy or the edibles a problem for poisoning?
Yeah, you know, since at least here in Washington, retail or recreational marijuana was legalized 2012, and the retail shops opened actually summer of 2014. And what we've kind of been noticing over the years is this gradual increase in the number of cases being called to the poison center that involve marijuana of some sort, whether it's the plant or the edible itself. And last year, we had our highest number yet. We had 246 cases called into the poison center. Now, to put that into perspective, we get about 64,000 calls a year. So it's a very small amount, but it's actually the rate at which the calls had increased that was startling. And we believe a lot of it had to do with the fact that not only is it more readily available because we have retail shops open now selling it, but because people are more comfortable calling, I think it has a lot to do with the fact that it's technically legal in the state. It's still illegal on a federal level, but in the state, marijuana is legal. And so people are no longer really afraid of getting, you know, perhaps, oh, I might get reported to the police if I call about this. A lot of times people are afraid about Child Protective Services getting involved. Which, you know, neither of which we're reporting, except where we suspect maybe child abuse or neglect. And that would be with any sort of healthcare provider or individual that works with youth, considered mandatory reporting. So I think, in essence, we're capturing more of what was already there to begin with. So it's hard to say whether or not more poisonings are happening or if it's just we have a better sense of the real kind of situation that's happening here in our state.
And now the what is the, since you've got 64,000 episodes a year, what's the most common thing that is that poison control gets called for?
Yeah. So you know the number one substance that we actually get called on here in our state is acetaminophen, which is an analgesic. You know, it's a pain reliever. It's found in a number of different cough and cold products out there. It's also found in a number of pharmaceutical combination drugs, so things like Lortab, Vicodin. Also goes by the brand name Tylenol, but acetaminophen is just everywhere. And while it's largely very, very safe, you know, people run into trouble when they start combining cough and cold products. And as we're starting to get now here into the fall, the weather's getting colder, flu season's going to be starting, cold season's already kind of working its way around, people are going to be looking at a number of different over-the-counter products that they can use to treat their symptoms. So there's an increased risk for acetaminophen toxicity, which can ultimately result in things like liver failure, organ damage. It can ultimately have very bad results if you get too much of it. So I always recommend that people talk to their local pharmacist if they're not quite sure what to take or if it contains duplicate ingredients. And of course, if they also have questions, we have pharmacists at the poison centers as well. And they can also call and ask us if it's safe or what a recommended dose is.
And now so acetaminophen is one of the leading. What's the most unusual? Do kids eat cigars or cigarettes? Does ever that come in, or is that just not an issue? And what's the most common thing in the non-drug line that you would get called about for poisoning?
Sure. So, you know, I think one of the things that we're really starting to talk about and see a lot around the country is e-cigarettes and liquid nicotine. And while it may not necessarily rank in the top 10 substances, it certainly is something that a lot of states are really struggling with in terms of how do we regulate it. So, you know, it's the nicotine content that's very concerning, especially in kids. A lot of these products, unfortunately, are not really labeled that great, nor do they have any sort of like child-resistant packaging. So we as providers, especially in the poison center world, are sometimes left with, you know, well, how much did the child actually get into? How much nicotine have they been exposed to? And too much nicotine can certainly cause a lot of weird symptoms. You know, nausea, vomiting, if you get too much of it, can ultimately cause seizures, and ultimately death as well. other things, you know, that are kind of weird that we're seeing, obviously bleach is something that's pretty common that we get into a lot. We find, especially around kids, you know, they're trying to develop that hand-eye coordination, so things like button batteries, not a pharmaceutical product, but readily available in the fact that there are so many toys out there now, hearing aid batteries, those can be actually very, very dangerous because they can get lodged in the esophagus. It can actually cause, like, localized injury and burns, not only because of the chemicals that are in it, but also causes a mild electrical charge to go through that tissue. So button batteries are definitely, if you get a button battery, it's almost always a recommendation to go to the hospital for evaluation. So that's always concerning. The other thing that we're seeing too, laundry pods. I know there's been a lot of discussion nationwide about these laundry pods that are so brightly colored that kids get into, they're attracted to it, they bite into it, and all of a sudden it kind of explodes in their mouth. And generally, you know, we say it's just soap, no big deal. But these laundry pods, somehow they are pretty toxic in kids, can cause definitely things like respiratory depression, so your breathing slows down. These kids are presenting very drowsy. We've had a number of cases where individuals have ended up on a ventilator because they've had some acute lung injury secondary to that laundry pod exposure. So for parents that use these laundry pods, you know, they're great, but keep them up high, lock them away. Don't let kids have any access to them whatsoever. Because they can also be very, very dangerous.
I didn't realize that they actually explode. So they're not just they don't just dissolve in the water. It's like they're under pressure. They have a liquid
exactly.
In the center that explodes.
Yeah, no, they're definitely under pressure when you feel them. And it's, you know, as soon as it almost kind of comes in contact with water, it just kind of explodes. And so, you know, kids and even some older adults that maybe have, you know, with dementia or what have you, it basically, they aspirate it, so it gets into their lungs, which causes a host of, you know, problems, which is why we have some patients ending up on ventilators. So definitely keep those locked away, keep those button batteries out of reach of kids, you know, have that poison center number available. If you have any questions or concerns, you can always get
that number. So for tonight, let's remind everyone that the number is 1-800-222-1222. We've been talking with Dr. Alexander Garrard, GARD, Director of the Washington State Poison Control Center, and speaking for AAPCC, the American Association of Poison Control Centers, 2 A's, 2 C's. And remember to call it if you have a problem. Call 1-800-222-1222. Thanks very much. We'll be back next week with a great new show. We got great guests lined up for you. We'll be here.